Women's E-News, weekly summary of news about women, women's issues, and from women's perspectives. From the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of January 10, 2009, I'm Anna Maria Roque. Starting with the good news, cheers! Fair pay bills, clear house. The House of Representatives passed two significant legislative acts on pay equity on January 9th. First, the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act that addresses a 2007 Supreme Court decision that ruled against Lilly Ledbetter and said that employees had to file grievances within 180 days of the initial discrimination, even if they did not know about it. The new bill extends that 180-day limitation to the final discriminatory act or paycheck rather than the first. The House also passed the Paycheck Fairness Act, which closes loopholes in the Equal Pay Act and provides additional tools to prevent wage discrimination. Both bills were passed by the House last year, but were stalled in the Senate. Supporters of the bills are more optimistic about the bill's fate in the new Senate sworn in on January 6th. More news to cheer this week. President-elect Barack Obama nominated Harvard Law School Dean Elena Kagan for Solicitor General on January 5th, the Washington Post reported. If confirmed, Kagan will be the first woman to hold the position, sometimes referred to as the 10th Justice. Solicitor generals present the government's views to the Supreme Court and manage federal litigation in appeals courts. Mothers now have the right to breastfeed in public places in Massachusetts. Those who harass a nursing mother face a fine up to $500. Dr. Melissa Bartik, chair of the Massachusetts Breastfeeding Coalition, called the law a major step forward for public health. In Nepal, former female indentured laborers marched in Kathmandu January 6 to demand rehabilitation and education, Reuters reported. The indentured labor of children was banned in Nepal 8 years ago, and 5,000 have gained their freedom. Utah legislators decided to delay a bill that would ban most abortions in the state on January 7, the Salt Lake Tribune reported. Legislators were concerned that the state could not afford to defend the measure in court, which could cost between $2 and $7 million. The city of San Francisco is challenging California state legislation that makes it legal for insurance companies to charge women more than men for health coverage, the San Francisco Chronicle reported. Insurance companies argue that women are more expensive to care for than men, even before maternity care is taken into consideration. And now for the downside of news, Jeers, rates miss mark. The New York-based Sex Workers Project, an urban justice center program that provides legal services and advocacy for sex workers, released a report on January 9th, which concluded that federal anti-human trafficking raids actually end up violating the rights of trafficked victims. Law enforcement raids at suspected brothels routinely fail to locate, identify, and refer a large number of trafficked people to supportive services. The report, timed to Human Trafficking Awareness Day on January 11th, notes that federal task forces have focused exclusively on prostitution and ignored other labor trafficking cases in the domestic, agriculture, and service sectors. Task forces have also largely ignored the experiences of men held in captivity. Women rescued in anti-trafficking raids sometimes are held in immigration detention centers for weeks. Many report emotional trauma from the raids that were meant to help trafficked individuals. More news to cheer this week. Starting January 15th, girls in Pakistan's Swat Valley will be prohibited from attending school after the Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan militant group banned girls' education, the Times of India reported. Shah Duran, deputy leader of the Taliban insurgency group that controls the region, said that co-educational schools will be bombed and individuals who violate the ban will be killed. Girls also risk the threat of acid thrown in their faces if they attempt to attend class. On January 5th, the Iranian government stepped up its harassment of Shirin Ebadi, a Nobel Peace Laureate, women's rights activist, civil rights lawyer, and a women's e-news leader of the 21st century. 5 men came to her office to search her documents and computer for evidence of tax evasion. Although she was forced to yield to their search, she was concerned about the confidential files of her clients on her computer, the International Herald Tribune reported. In December, Iranian police raided Ebadi's Center for Defense of Human Rights, and some activists believe the center was shut down due to its work informing the United Nations about human rights abuses in Iran. Women have been barred from entering a Shia shrine in Baghdad, the BBC reported January 6th. Security officials fear that a female suicide bomber will be able to enter the shrine during the Ashura holy day ceremonies, but they lack female officers to search women who visit. 35 people were killed in the shrine by a male suicide bomber on January 4th. Also noted in the news this week, two reproductive health studies focused on Latinas in different U.S. communities found do-it-yourself methods to privately end pregnancies are common among some women from cultural traditions generally opposed to abortion, the New York Times reported. These methods include using a prescription ulcer medication, misoprostol, which induces miscarriage, using homemade potions, or resorting to self-inflicted violence, such as throwing themselves downstairs. Mistrust of the healthcare system, worrying about deportation, cost and shame were among reasons cited by researchers that women avoid legal abortions. These news briefs were compiled by Rebecca Harshbarger. Rita Henley-Jensen is editor-in-chief. Background music is by Joan Hickey. This production of Women's E-News is brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio. This column and more news about women can be found at the Women's E-News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio, I'm Anne-Marie Roque.